Hello and welcome to Film Weekly Extra. On this week's podcast, we feature an interview by Zan Brooks with a controversial Danish director, Lars von Trier, on the release of his latest work, Antichrist. Starring Willem Dafoe and Charlotte Gainsbourg, the film is a stark psychodrama about grief, death and intimacy. Zan Brooks spoke at length with Lars von Trier, and because we can't put the full interview on our usual podcast, we present the unedited version here for your enjoyment.
Hello.
Hello, is that Lars?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Zan Brooks here from The Guardian.
Yes, hello, how are you?
All right, not so bad. How are you?
No, not so bad.
Good. Now, the majority view at the Cannes Film Festival seemed to be that Antichrist was the work of a sick man. And from what you've said, that was quite literally true in that it was sort of conceived on your sick bed.
Oh, yes, in that sense. It was made during an effort to kind of recover after depression. But I don't think that the content maybe the con- I must have been sick all the time, you know, because I think the concept has had. I'm not sure it had anything to do with the situation, but maybe. But generally, I'm just sick, I think.
What do you think brought the depression on? Because you'd never
the depression on.
Yeah.
No, but I've been suffering from all kinds of stupid things since I was six, and anxiety. I think that depression is kind of the psyche's way of having a timeout. So I think it was just the pressure became too much, and then you go into. Have you ever been depressed?
No.
No, it's a remarkable thing actually. It's very hard for the family.
And you were still depressed when you were making the film, because I read that you couldn't hold the camera, which you normally do.
No, stuff like that, yes, which was really humiliating, I thought. You know, it's like, because how you must feel when you're really old and there are, every day there are new things that you can't do that you're used to doing.
Did you conceive of this film then as a form of therapy for you?
Yeah, the practical side of it, yes, very much so. That you had to go to work every day and you had to do this and this and this. It's very good. Film work is very good at that because it has to be very structured.
But the actual film is quite critical of traditional cognitive therapy. There's the Willem Dafoe character who's
that's interesting. Yes, I am critical. I have been undergoing this form of therapy for 3 years, and. I might be a little sarcastic, but I think that I'm sure that this is probably the best therapy that is available right now, anyway, for anxiety. But that doesn't say much. I think that it's you know the general idea in this form of therapy is you know if you're afraid of going into a tunnel, then go into it. You know, and that's kind of you know compared to what the how you know science is these days, it's kind of a little poor.
And it doesn't help the Charlotte Gainsbourg character in the film, does it, following that advice?
No, I think that one of the things that the therapist kept saying to me was, you know, these are only thoughts and they have nothing to do with reality. And then I thought, okay, I'll make them a film and show them how it really is.
You've also said that the material for Antichrist in part comes from your youth. In what sense?
Well, in the sick sense. I think it was a very sick younger man who did this film.
Right. So it's all about kind of your primal fears.
Yeah, it has to do with that. And also has to do with my fascination as a young man of August Strindberg.
Mm-hmm.
So I was especially fond of a picture like the end of the film where a lot of women comes up to this single man that stands helpless. I'm sure Strindberg would have approved.
And yet the film is dedicated not to Strindberg but to Andrei Tarkovsky.
No, yeah. No, but that is, I'm a big Tarkovsky fan, and you know, if I didn't dedicate the film to him, people would have said you have been stealing from Tarkovsky, which I have. So it's just it's a way to admit it and then get it out of the way.
And yet the odd thing about the screening that I attended in Cannes was that the dedication to Tarkovsky actually provoked more howls of outrage from people than the clitorectomy, for instance.
Yes. It was meant very sincerely. But I think everything in the film kind of provoked very strange responses. But it's selling well, the film. So that's anyway from good.
You've said that you've never set out deliberately to make a provocative film, and yet there are so many aspects of this film that you must have known would.
Oh yes, but that's one thing. One thing is to know that it will be taken provocative, but that's not how you navigate, I think, in a film. Or anyway, I don't. You know, I like to say that I'm provoking myself. You know, which is true also, and through that I'm provoking others.
But how do you feel personally then, as somebody who goes to the Cannes Film Festival with your newborn baby, and then provokes that kind of visceral response? Do you take that personally? Are you secretly pleased by it? How do you adapt to that?
Oh, I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased. I think that there were some journalists that went a little over the line by saying that I should justify myself. I think that was a little too. You could maybe, which I'm not going to do, justify the film, but justify myself, I think, was a little over the line. Mm. If you asked me before and if you ask me now how a film should be received, then it would be with some people that hate it and some people that like it.
I'm going to read you a quote from another review of the time that said that that Antichrist is quote proof that Lars von Trier hates women. How do you respond to that?
It's interesting how you can see a film of proof of anything. Well, when you make a film, it's not a statement. I don't believe that, you know, in Breaking the Waves there were some bells up in the sky. You know, I don't believe that there are bells in the sky. Mm. You know, it's a fictional tale. I prefer being with women than men. Absolutely, no, hating them. That would be like kind of hating elephants. That would be really strange, wouldn't it?
Is it hurtful, though, if somebody accuses you of rampant misogyny?
Because it's so much nonsense that I can't take it seriously.
I was also speaking to Charlotte Gainsbourg at the festival, and she said that she felt that she was playing you.
Yes, but I think that is very true. That in many of my films, I you know, one way of writing scripts is that you take your own personality and you kind of divide it up into different persons, and I think that's what I'm doing very much. And if anybody is me in the film, it's the her character.
That does imply that you were in a very, very dark place when you were making this film.
Yes, but anxiety and stuff, I've you know, as I told you, felt all my life, and that can be very serious, very serious. So yes, it's experiences.
Going back a few years, you made a short film for the Cannes Film Festival again, where you beat a critic to death.
Yes. And that's why I don't want telephone interviews.
Why is that?
Because then I can't hit.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
you can't hit journalists or critics with hammers.
What is your issue with criticism?
I'm fine with criticism. I think that. No, I think, like I said at the press conference, I think that if you are an artist and you make a film, it's kind of, as long as the film is running, it's kind of your party, in the sense that you are inviting people into your sick mind or whatever you're doing, and they are the guests, you know. So I don't see there's any reason to be insulted by being invited, even though it's a sick party.
Okay. The other thing that you said at the press conference that I am going to have to ask you to justify is okay. when you said that you were the best director in the world.
Yeah,
how so?
That's my tool.
That's your tool?
Yes. If I did not think that this was the right way and the best way to make a film, then I don't think I could work. I'm absolutely sure of that. I'm not saying what other people should say or think, or not at all. I'm just talking about how I feel myself. Yes, absolutely. And I think that there's been very many megomanic like me before. but that it is actually a tool, because otherwise, if I did not think that I was the best to answer the different questions that came up, then I would have to lean to others, and I'm not.
So you think that you're simply saying what all the other directors in the competition secretly think about themselves?
Well, they have to in a certain way. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be able to work, I think. But, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm. I think it's quite natural, but maybe. Yeah. But I'm sick, as you remember.
Well, this also suggests that filmmaking is almost like a confidence trick that you have to play on yourself to embark on a project like that. You almost have to be your own cheerleader.
Oh yes. But it is a mind game that is really interesting. You know, to make a film, it is for the people that do it. It is more than fun. It's kind of very necessary. Somehow, it's like, you know, when you do a big crossword puzzle. You know, it's you can't let go until it's finished, right?
So, what about now? Then you start off by saying you're the best director in the world to make this film, and then you sit down at the end after the final edit and you look at it. And then, what do you think? What do you say? What do you think about Antichrist when you sit down and watch it now?
It took me some time to like it.
Really? Why? What were your first responses to it?
No, it's a strange film, as you've also have seen, and it was not obvious how to do it. It's just more abstract and more stranger than what I've done before, I think.
Do you have a similar response to your other films? Do you immediately like them, or do you? Is it always a process of sort of coming to terms with what they are?
No, I think that was special for this film. Normally, I'm very, as you already know, I'm happy for myself, but normally I'm also very happy for the films I'm doing.
But this was a difficult film.
But I'm not
film.
Saying I'm happy for myself. I really acknowledge the right that everybody has to think that I'm the poorest director in the world.
And in terms of the film as an act of therapy, do you think it did help you?
Yeah, I think so.
And so you're over
3 months in Germany. Come on, what doesn't kill you helps you. Wasn't there something like that?
If you can survive that, you can survive
anything.
So are you entirely over the depression now, or is it still a lingering concern?
I don't think I'll ever be. I think I will be a sick little kid from. Many years to come, probably my whole life. But you can fight it, of course, which I'm doing with lots of cognitive therapy.
The kind of the key line in Antichrist is spoken by the fox, who says that chaos reigns. Does that reflect your own worldview?
Oh. Anyway, that is very much what you will agree to if you are in a phase of heart anxiety. but this whole thing with the fox and you know, a lot of people said, but why does a fox speak? That is ridiculous. Yes, maybe it is, but that's again, it's kind of the fox demanded to have a line. You know, I'm washing my hands a little bit.
You don't argue with the fox.
No, you don't. I actually, all these images of animals are images from my. Former life where I did a lot of shamanic journeys, And there you speak to the animals under these shamanic journeys. I don't know if you know anything
about it. No, not at all.
No, it's some kind of, you know, the shamans, the yeah. medicine men of, yeah. Yeah, was kind of traveling to a parallel world to solve problems and to help people. And they did that on the drum of the beat of the drum, a special drum beat, and then you go into a trance and you can kind of move to this parallel world where you speak with the animals. And there I actually met this fox that was biting itself, and it had a line, so it's difficult to change that.
And what age were you on these shamanic journeys?
I think I was 20 or something.
Right. And that was a helpful process to go through?
It was great fun. Great fun. It's really fantastic because it's actually like some kind of drug, you know, this drum beat. So that you, it's really ridiculous things that happen.
Were there any other animals that you met on the journey as well as the fox?
The three animals, yes. All three of them I met.
Oh, right. I see. So these are they're coming back into the film from
the past. Oh, yes,
yes.
The bird in the ground and stuff, yes.
Lars, let's look forward now. So what,
yes.
Are you?
Yes, please.
Let's put all this behind us. Yeah. You were saying that when you were in the depths of depression that you worried that you wouldn't actually be able to make a film again.
Mm,
but now you have, and presumably that's been broken. Are you going to go back and complete the US trilogy that we've had, Dogville and Mandalay? Are we going to get Washington, the third film in that?
I don't know. Right now I'm also because my partner and I have sold half of the company, so we are really taking a long vacation now, you know.
So you have...
I don't know. You can't kind of hurry these things. You know, you have to wait and see what film demands to be done.
And what are your plans for the long vacation?
I'm actually taking care of my garden as... And I have a very, almost an English garden, I think, with little hedges around these, the lettuce and the onions and the cabbage. And, oh, yes, and a greenhouse with lots of tomatoes and stuff. Yes, I use a lot of time there.
It does sound like the life of a convalescent.
Yes, it does, but I feel a little like that after Cannes also. So.
Okay, Lars von Trier, thanks so much for sparing the time to speak to
us. Yes, thank you very much.
All right, good luck.
Yeah, okay, ciao.
Bye-bye.
Antichrist goes on UK-wide release this coming Friday on the 24th of July. Don't forget to download this week's Film Weekly podcast as I talk to Skin director Anthony Fabian and Peter Bradshaw and I review this week's releases. And for the best film news and reviews, go to guardian.co.uk/film. But for now, goodbye.